brought these young ladies to us a year ago. They were just children in the faith, Lord, just children in the ministry. And now you've brought them back, young women of God, Lord, just ready, Father, to just to be used. Thank you that they've laid their lives down selfishly, Lord. That God, even as you're stripping them, God, you're giving them more than they ever had. And thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you've not only given them, Father, the cross-cultural tools to reach the unreachable, but God, you've given them your power and you've given them your compassion in your heart. You've given them eyes to see as heaven sees. And God, we just, Father, covenant with them to become one of their houses, Father, one of their sending houses, Lord. So as they come to us, we send them back, Lord, into the nations, Lord, with the same anointing that rests in this house, same overcoming victory, same apostolic power, Father, same vision and sight, Father, to see harvest, churches planted and disciples raised up. We just, Father, just pray over them in the name of Jesus, God, that you would just, Father, take the DNA and the seed that's in this house and put it upon them, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, even, Lord, what you've used me for, God, in taking nations, Father, whatever authority and apostolic authority, Father, you've given me, we just pass it on to these precious ladies that, God, they would operate, Lord God, in apostolic miracle, Father, power, Lord God, even signs and wonders, Lord God. They're paying the price, Jesus. Father, they will not become proud, Lord God. They will be humble. So, God, you can put it on them in the name of Jesus. Use them. Use them, use them. Father, both of them are going to be lifted up, Lord God, Father, for peoples to see, and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Johanna, and of course, the Lord, you know, he gave me a word, you know, for both of you, but this is specifically for you because you left, and I think I had this word for you last year, but because you left what you had, the Lord has, maybe this will sort of bring into reinforce is the word I'm looking for, what others and God has been speaking to you, but God has spoken to me that he will bring you into high places wherever you go. You know, that wasn't you just didn't get lucky by working for that senator. God has a plan, and because even as Moses laid down his estate in Pharaoh's court, that God raised him up in another sense, to be a deliverer. And so the Lord has the same, hallelujah, woo. Whew. Lord has that same word for you, is that even as you've left the Pharaoh's house, he's going to use you to be a deliverer of many people. He'll even use you to be a leader among leaders, and he'll put you in other houses, and he'll put you, even as he brought Daniel and Joseph in the houses, so he will bring you into other houses. And you'll know it'll be astounding, but you'll just know even as Joseph knew, because your time of this humility of humbling will come to an end, and God will raise you into the place, and he's preparing you to do this. Hallelujah. And Ellie, even as you've been faithful in what the Lord has given you, you've been like a handmaiden of the Lord. God is going to use you also in mighty ways. You're going to be even like the Marthas and the Marys in the time of Jesus. As you've ministered at his feet, God's going to use you to touch many, many people in the households of Chloe, in other households that you're visiting and that you're seeing and that you're spending time with because of your precious, precious heart and your the servant hood that you have on your heart. Ellie, you're going to win many, many, many people to Jesus just because you're so beautiful in the Lord. And, you know, and you've questioned sometimes the Lord says, Lord, you know, I have so little offering. The Lord says that he's making you great, that he's given you his heart, and that you are beautiful in the Lord's sight, and that he sees you as beautiful, and that everybody sees you as beautiful. They see the Spirit of God living inside of you is so beautiful, Ellie. And so you have God's heart. Amen. 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 Let's give God praise. Let's give him thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, what a great note to go ahead and let's go ahead and take up our offering this morning. You know, this is just an example of what our missions dollars are going to do around the world. You know, you don't always see when you put, you know, you just put your offerings out by faith. But let me tell you that God is taking whatever we give in this church and is doing things that we don't see. And one day we're going to meet Jesus. One day we're going to see in heaven, and he's going to begin speaking to us what our faithfulness in giving has done throughout the world, enabled people to go, empower them to go. I also want to recognize we have a lot of visitors that Joshua, you brought a bunch of visitors. Where's Joshua at? Amen. Joshua, you want to just stand up and tell us who your friends are that you brought with us with you today? And who are these fine young men and ladies? Okay. Well, we welcome you all. Let's give them a big clap of welcome. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Ushers, you're already there. Okay. Somebody say praise God for ushers. You can be an usher too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many of you have needs today? Let's lift up the nation of Japan. Amen. Japan's going through it, folks. I mean, you know, they've got another nuclear reactor that's hot. You know, those people got ravaged by Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and it looks like they're in this place they call the Ring of Fire. There's more volcanoes there than any place on the face of the earth, and they're expecting another 7.0 earthquake to hit that place very soon. And they've got another reactor about to. I mean, these are real people. You know, this is not just, you know, people out there. These are real people that God loves, and we need to pray for them. Hallelujah. And I want to just also remember, let's continue to remember the Wimberleys. You know, they get good news, and then they get not so good news this week. I think they've got some good news. They've seen some response. So let's just keep praying for that family. How many of you have needs out there? Let me see your hands. Amen. Spoken requests. We're going to pray for needs right now. And as we just prepare to give. Father, thank you so much today that, God, you are on the throne. And, God, thank you that you're not the God of yesterday only, but you're the God of today. And that the work that you're doing in every life here, Lord, even as we saw what you're doing with Johan and Ellie, Lord, you're working that same work in our lives here as we just yield and submit to you. I ask, God, that you would just, Father, continue every work in this house. Those that are here, those that couldn't be here today, we remember all of our families that are out traveling, visiting, and so forth. Be with them, Lord God. Answer every need. Heal every sickness. Father, increase faith in the house today, we ask. Lord, now we just lift up our tithes and offerings to you. Lord, we don't give as unto men. We don't give as unto the church, but God, we give as unto you, Lord God. And Lord, we give cheerfully and with expectation. And everybody said, amen. God bless you and thank you for your giving. Children's Church, you're dismissed. The rest of you can open up your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew. Can I try that wireless headset again? Cell phones. Ooh, cell phones off, please. I want to thank the musicians for working so hard. I want to thank Kelvin and Debbie and Wendy and just all of the worship team. Appreciate everybody. Appreciate the ushers, door greeters. Just appreciate all of you that are just working so hard and just loving on people that coming in. Kelvin, isn't that a good little mix there? Coming out good? You know, we got this new board, and this board is a computer with a bunch of buttons on top of it is what it is, and it runs our sound machine, and we've been playing with it over weeks and weeks and weeks, and finally, you know, it just kind of got to the place where we went, ooh. So we pushed a button on it, and it says recall. So everything that we did months ago came back up on the board. I mean, it's got every little button you could touch, it remembers it and send it back up. So all the problems we had just disappeared. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are advantages of living in the internet age, in the age that we live in, and that's one of them.
Amen.
I mean, we have the communication. We have so many things that are just a real blessing. It's just a great day to be alive. Just don't let those electronics rule you, young people. You rule over those electronics. Okay, we don't want to get sidetracked there. Let's get on into Matthew. And, I don't know. I'm going to let this be part two of the message that we started last week, that love would cover a multitude of sins. And we talked about that fervent love will cover a multitude of sins. We talked about being hospitable, but that fervent love, unconditional love, will cover not only your neighbor's faults, but it covers your faults too, because God has a tendency to look over those that give mercy and grace. Can I tell you, if you're a legalist this morning here, you're in trouble. But I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay for the message. But if you're the kind of person that you just are always pointing the finger at somebody, God wants to change you this morning. You know, if you're a person that has a very short temper, God wants to talk to you this morning. If you're the kind of person that you've been holding a grudge for a long time, and forgiveness doesn't come easy to you, God wants to talk to you this morning. Now, on the softer edge, if you're the kind of person that's been wounded and you've just been hurt, and it's just so hard just to go day to day because of the pain, God also wants to touch you this morning with the word that's coming forth. In Matthew chapter 24, God really spoke to me this week to minister this. This message that I want to minister this morning, God had me preach this. He wouldn't let me get off of this probably for about 3 or 4 years. I preached it everywhere I went, every message. I tried to go to other places, he'd bring me back to this message. I tried to go somewhere else, he'd bring me back to this message. And I've preached this message all over the world, and it's probably one of the most powerful revelations. And it really, of course, what Johanna shared brought us all to a place of humility and gratitude. I think this will tie in as well. In verse number 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone will be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." So we're speaking right now of end times. The disciples had came to us, and they said, "Show us, Lord." And now, as he said on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, and they said to him, "Tell us, when will all these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" How many of you know we're at the end of the age right now? What age are we at the end of? We're at the end of the church age, the age of when God is gathering in a harvest that's coming in, and then will be his return and coming. That is called the age of the church age, the end of the age. And so Jesus answers this question, verse 4, and he said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Everybody says, "Let nobody deceive you." You know what deception is? Deception is you believing that you're right when you're really wrong. That's all deception is. It's a very simple thing. And so many people today are open for deception because they do not know the Word of God. So many people are deceived, too, as we spoke on last week, because they're self-focused. Because they're so focused on themselves and everything around them, they cannot see God. See, what God did with our sister here is he took her and got her attention off of herself and got her attention on the world of other people. I mean, you know, God had to get his attention off of himself. And he saw us. It said he so loved the world. He looked down and saw earth. He saw our plight. Verse 5 says, "Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. Now, a lot of people believe that this is speaking of here, that many are going to come saying that they're the Christ. And many do that. But there's another class of people here he's speaking of. Many will come in his name, and they will deceive many. And I'm using this group that just formed because they're one of the recent groups, you know, and they're coming in the name of Jesus, and they're date setting. You know, they're saying that they're coming in 2011. They're saying that Jesus is coming on a certain date. Of course, the Bible is clear on that. And they took this one little liberty that they took two scriptures, and they said the first scripture that they took is that Noah's work of, you know, God's work of destroying the earth during Noah's time, and this the 1 year, the 7 days that God formed the earth, and then they go in and they do another I think it's in Peter where he says, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So they take all these scriptures, jumble them up, and out comes this date, right? Well, the thing about, and I talked with somebody recently about this type of thing that was in another particular group, and they were saying, well, they take this liberty today. The question is what liberty do they take tomorrow? You see, you may not say, well, you know, that's just one of those things. They got so many other things right. But anytime any group takes a scripture and they begin to bend and twist it to do a certain thing, they can take any other thing they want to at a later time. That's why you need to know the word. That's why the Bible says that, take heed that many will come in my name saying, I am in the Christ, and they're going to deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you not be troubled. Every time we turn around, there's a new war in the Middle East. And in these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That means even though we're seeing all this, that doesn't mean the end has come. But nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. Everybody say earthquakes. There's a few earthquakes on the earth right now. But these are the beginning of sorrows. In other words, what you're seeing, this is not the end, but this is the beginning. And some of you know that the end of the age for us is just the beginning of a new age. I need a bigger amen on that. That means that when this thing finishes, this is not the end. This means you're just stepping into a new portal of time, which is called eternity, that we live forever and ever with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to his coming, because that is not the end for us. That's just the beginning. Praise the Lord. But for the earth, this is the beginning of sorrows. Kind of like a woman that's going into travail, that's getting ready to give birth. It's just the beginning of the birthing process. There's going to be a lot of pain there. There's going to be a lot of shaking and trembling and tribulation. Verse 9 says that they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Don't think you're going to get along good with the world. Don't think that the world's got a pat on the back for you as you're serving God. Verse 10, and this is where the scripture I wanted to come to, and many will be offended, and they will betray one another, and they will hate one another. Now, I did a study in this some time ago, and that word offended in the Greek, it speaks of scandalon, which means a trap. In the same way that a bird is trapped in the snare of a fowler, they take a little cage and they put a little something the bird would like there. The bird walks in there and he grabs what he likes, and down comes the cage on him. Well, in the same way, offense is that way for a Christian. It's a little piece of something that you really would like, and you go in there and you grab on it, and as soon as you get it, the trap falls on you. That's what the word offense means. We've used this, the illustration, and I've done it in so many third world countries, of the monkey that they trap in Africa, that the monkey will, and I don't really like to do that. Let me see if I got, I got time to do that. Let's see. You want to be my monkey? Come on. Yeah. You make a goat monkey. Okay, what you're going to do? He's not really a monkey, right? No. Little man of God right here. All right. You're going to be the monkey, though, in this illustration. Now, what a monkey does in Africa, the way they trap them is they put their hands, and they cut a little hole out in a tree. They put a piece of fruit there, a piece of candy that the monkey liked. The monkey reaches in there. You can kind of do this. There you go. And he reaches in there. He grabs that fruit, right? Okay, what happens when he grabs the fruit is his hand gets bigger. Go ahead and make a fist. And now his hand can't get out of that hole. And so what happens is he's trying to get it out. He's trying to get out. And I want you to go ahead and just keep your hand there. But you can't get it out, right? Now you got to be a little bit frustrated about that. There you go. Good, good. You got to make a few noises. Come on, if you do that, I'll get Vicky to make some chicken noises, okay? Yeah, yeah. Come on, do it. Good, good, good. Okay, so what does he have to do to get his hand out of that hole? Lego. Okay, but the monkey wants the little candy more than he wants freedom. Very good. Okay. So go ahead, monkey. Now there's another player in this. It's called the monkey trapper, right? So the monkey trapper comes around, and he designed this trap. So he's going to take that monkey out. He's got his club. He's getting ready. Now the monkey sees the monkey trapper coming. And so he's going, now you get a little nervous now because I'm fixing to hit you, okay? All right. Okay, come on, man. I got this thing. Now he's got to let go. And he knows but yet his desire for that piece of fruit or candy is so strong that it would even keep him from letting go when he's about to get clobbered. All right? Man, you ought to be getting real nervous about it right now. You're fixing to become monkey stew right now. Doing. That's in India, by the way. They do that too. Amen. Let's give our young Joshua friend here a big, big hand. And you know, so a lot of Christians are like this. You know, somebody comes and they hurt us. I mean, they speak something against us, or they go and they do something. Or maybe they hurt someone that's close to us. And you know what happens? We grab onto that idle fence, and the devil has us. That's why Jesus says, many will become offended, and they will betray one another. You know, there's a progression here, and they will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise. These false prophets are going to, that's a whole different message. We'll go on that to another day. And because lawlessness, everybody say lawlessness. Now, because lawlessness, or that means no restraint against sin, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow or wax cold. Now, this word love in the Greek here, actually, that word translates to agape. Now, that's a pretty interesting word here because agape is only used for Christians. It's never used for people in the world. Whenever you read the reference to agape in the Word of God, it's always talking what a Christian possesses. So it says, because of lawlessness, the love of many Christians will grow cold. Okay? Now notice it's tied into that many are going to be offended. So you got people practicing sin. You got people speaking out and saying things they shouldn't, doing things they shouldn't, being in places they shouldn't, watching things they shouldn't, being the hypocrite. And what will happen is many will see it and the love of many will grow cold. He says, but he who endures, everybody say, I'm going to endure, they shall be saved. I want you to just hold your finger there. I want you to look over in Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. This is a very well used, and for many of us, it has become sort of a scripture that's sort of centerpiece in our position of faith and believing God. And I'd like to back this a little bit up and put it in context. If you don't mind, I'm going to back this up. We're going to move up to verse 17, but I want to start at verse 11 and work up to this verse so we can do a little verse-by-verse study. It says, O you tossed one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I lay your stones with colorful gems and your foundation with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of ruby, your gates of crystals, and all your walls of precious stones. Verse 13, it says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord. Can you say amen to that?
And great shall be the peace of your children. You know, God made me this promise a long time ago when a storm had come to ravage my home. And it looked like, you know, my whole seed could be swept away. How many of you ever had something like that happen to your house? All of a sudden your kids turn into teenagers. Ah! It's time to get Isaiah verse 13 here and time to start quoting that thing every night. When it looks like, I mean, what, and even your grandchildren. And let me tell you, there's power in that scripture. There's power in quoting God's word. There's power in standing on the word. Because the devil comes and, you know, because the battle many times is up here. You know, because really, God's promised you that everything's going to be okay, but the devil starts lying to your mind and says, look at him. These kids ain't going to wind up to be a hill of beans. These are going to be no goods. And you know what? And you just say, no, 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 devil. All my children are being taught by the Lord right now. That means I'm not just teaching. That means God's busy with them. Come on, God took care of you. How many of you know he can take care of your children? And it says, great shall be the peace of your children. Great shall be the peace of your children. And in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. This is talking about people that come against you. You ever see how things sometimes can just line up against you? It looks like when one person goes sour against you, it looks like a whole bunch come get together like grapes. And it looks like all the family just get together and they got you on the plate. It says they, but you know, God says that I didn't do it. God's on your side. If people come against you, if you know, it happens at work too. Looks like if one person goes sour on you, looks like the whole bunch of them just get a little war party and then they're coming after you. But whoever assembles against you, help me somebody, they will fall because of your sake. Because you know why? You belong to Jesus. Everybody say, I belong to Jesus. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you this right now, that if you give somebody enough rope, they're going to hang themselves. It may look like they're winning for the time being, but if you just take a step back, sooner or later, that rope's going to hang themselves. Remember old Haman? He tried to hang Mordecai. What happened with old Haman? He got hung in his own rope. So behold, he says, I have created the blacksmith, verse 15, who blows the coals in the fire and who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy, or the weapon, or the destroyer. And that leads all the way up to this. And I really want to take just a second here to say this, that when we say no weapon formed against you may prosper, this is for people that are in trouble. How many of you ever been in trouble before? And it's usually not just because you're in trouble, it's because there's a posse after you, and the devil's got something that's been formed against you that's fixing to take you down. And that's when God promises, it don't matter how many people get together, it don't matter what kind of lies they put together against you, it don't matter what's coming against you, God's word says that weapon will not prosper. That's the first thing. And that has, in all this, when we quote this and pray this, it has another meaning too. It means that you don't take any action yourself to justify or vindicate yourself. Uh-oh, help me there. What that means is that the trap is set for you, and the biggest trap that's set for you is not what they're doing to you, but the temptation for you to fall into offense because of what they're doing, take the fruit, and get popped. That's what the Lord showed me a long time ago. They had a big old thing happen against me, and I thought, oh my God, this is witchcraft. Oh my God, I had all this stuff going. And finally God spoke to me one day, and he said, it's not all that. The test for you is, are you going to get offended against these people? Or are you just going to leave them be and let me take care of them? And I'm going to tell you what, it preaches easier than it is to live. Woo! man, look, I mean, when somebody's got the knife in your rib, man, you're not sitting there going, oh, praise the Lord, I love you, brother. You know, I just like, I'm going to give you a fivefold ministry. And if it isn't offending you, you know, if they touching your kids, or if they touching your spouse, or somebody close to you, you know, I can handle it. It's just in my back. You stick your knife in my wife's back, man. I'm gonna put you in a half Nelson, take all your hair off. Amen. Let me tell you one thing: if the kid knocks the baseball through the window, and you go knocking and fuss out the boy's mama, you better be careful. Better to go to the dad. Let me tell you, there's an instinct in us that protects. There's an instinct in us, and you have to even dismantle that to some degree and say, you know what? God will take care of this. God will vindicate me. God will vindicate you, Junior. Let me tell you, folks, every time, man, this is a great, I've come a long way since I've lived this message. Preach this message, but let me tell you what, when your kid comes home from school and they say the teachers are mean and nasty, don't you take up with your child and come against that teacher. You need to teach your child how to respect authority, and you need to take a step back and say, you know what, we're going to get you through this one. He probably is tough, but we're going to get you through this one. We're going to teach you how to live in a hard situation. Come on, help me, somebody. This, you know, if you teach your kids how to undergo hardship, they're not going to always be blaming other people. Because let me tell you one thing that happens to people that get into offense. They all of a sudden become the victim, and everybody else is the bad guy. And that's what can happen to you. If all of a sudden you look and you say, you know what, this guy is so bad, and poor me. You know, all of a sudden you basically say, Jesus has no power here. Anytime you take on the victim mentality, you're saying, Jesus, you have no power in this situation. But when you disregard that and say, you know what, these guys are trying to sit on me right now. And they're trying to take me out. But you know what, God? This is a great moment for you to rise up and vindicate. And let me tell you what, God will vindicate you. Amen. But as our sister spoke, and this is where this ties in, is that sometimes God doesn't always do it in our timing. And it may take years before this thing unfolds itself. Sometimes God lets things go on for a while. So you have to be patient. Everybody said that. Hallelujah. We're recording this, aren't we? Because there's a lot of revelation coming out in this thing right now. Patience, I want you to remember that word, because we're going to go to a scripture in a minute where God speaks of patience as a key element. But in this weapon that the devil has formed, I mean, that's his real thing. His thing isn't just to get, you know, some kind of a devil on your case and torment you. His thing is to get you in unforgiveness and offense so that he can get you off of your Christian faith. Deceive you, because where offense goes to is unforgiveness. Where offense goes to ultimately is bitterness. And once bitterness sets in, then revenge is the ultimate end. I don't know if you've ever been to the place of revenge before. I know some of you have. I'm going to point you out in just a minute because you can. No, just kidding. I have personally been to the point of revenge. And let me tell you what, when you get to the place of revenge, you're serious. You're serious about what you get to do. And you can't let yourself get to that place, because revenge is a vicious cycle. It never ends. If you put something on somebody out of revenge, it's coming right back at you. And it usually escalates. That's why you have to take that thing down. You can't let offense. You cannot take the offense. You cannot grab when the devil gives you something. You have to release it. Can I tell you, that's one of the number one reasons why people leave churches today. Is somebody said something, somebody did something, somebody didn't do something, and all of a sudden you go, you grab it. And I'm going to give it to you guys, because you guys showed up this morning, so you get all this juicy meat to go and share with people this week. But do you know what happens when people start just going from church to church because of offense? You become a spiritual vagabond. You know what a vagabond is? A vagabond is somebody that doesn't have a home to live, but they're always going from place to place. So what you have to do, and I want to help you guys, and we may send this message out to everybody in the church because I hear God's timing on this. But you have to know that you're called to a church, that you're called to a house. And if you're called to a house of God, then it doesn't matter if offense comes, because you can recognize, say, you know what, that's my house, and the devil's trying to get me out of this house through offense. And what will happen, that if you do not recognize this and offense moves you out of the house that you're in, then anytime you get settled in any house, all the devil will do is release a new offense on you, and he'll get you to move. And what happens when you never get roots planted in a church? You never grow. You're always shallow-rooted. You're always blown. And there's, how many of you know there's winds are coming? The winds are going to come, but they're not always going to be world storms. They're just sometimes it's going to be just things that people say and do. The devil has traps. He has weapons. But I like where it says here that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Come on, now you know what that scripture really means. Let's read it together. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I mean, it can be healing. It can be sickness, anything you're fighting against. But this really is in the context of when things and people rise up against you. And verse down it says, in every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn it. Now, you know what? This is saying you don't have to be a weenie. You don't have to be a doormat. That means if somebody's saying stuff against you, you can rise up and say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. You know, you say, I mean, people can lie and say all you got to just say, you know what? I condemn that in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to go down and beat down their door and take a baseball bat and hit them, but I'm just going to take a step back and say, praise the Lord. They're wrong and they're lying, and hallelujah, and I love Jesus. I condemn that in the name of Jesus. That's all it means. I condemn it. I condemn it. This is the heritage. Everybody say, I have an inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. That is powerful. My God, we could preach weeks of sermons and just messages just on the righteousness that God has given you. You clothe yourself in righteousness. His righteousness lives in you. That means that no weapon formed against you will prosper, because you belong to God and he's put his righteousness in you. And even when you have fault, you lay back on his righteousness because his love covers you. Do not ever take the bait. Don't ever take it. Husbands and wives, the devil has a bait. He has an offense. You know, I love the way that Vicki and I, we're young in our marriage, but we're learning quick. You know, I mean, I think that's just kind of how she is anyway. But when there's a potential offense there, a lot of times we just walk away. We just kind of step back and we just zip it. You know, and we walk for maybe we walk for half a day. Maybe we walk for a whole day. And maybe, you know, we'll just walk for a while till we make sure we're straight. And then we'll come together and we'll talk about it. But we don't react. Come on, nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, never react. Yeah, because that's when you get in trouble, is when you react. We get in more trouble when we open our mouths because of something we think somebody did or said, and the devil's already planted your response. Uh-oh. That means what you're saying may not even be what you're supposed to say. That's something the devil programmed in, because he makes you think that person don't like you anymore, or love you, or disrespect you, or thinks you're a slob, or thinks you're da-da-da, and you all blah, 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 and you just blat it out, and all of a sudden we got it going, man. And the other person's on the other end, and that, you know, they all of a sudden, man, they just got bushwhacked. They didn't even know that was inside of you. You mean you really felt that way about me? Blah, 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 blah. Now, man, now you got it going. That's why everybody say be... slow to speak, swift to hear, and slow to anger. You see, the Bible's got this thing figured out. We just got to read our word, and there is victorious living. How many of you know there's a lot of people need to be here to hear this message this morning? Amen. Okay. So, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 says, follow peace with all men and holiness. Without it, no man shall see God. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up in you, troubling you, and thereby many are defiled. Once you take offense, not only does it hit you, but it grabs everybody around you. Guys, let me tell you what. You can say, how do I know if I'm an offense or not? Listen what comes out of your mouth. If all you ever do is somebody says something, well, I also don't know about that guy. You know, he ain't no good. He always did this, and he always was that way. Well, you know what? Your words are telling you something. Man, she just, you know, I just don't, you know. Man, listen to your words. Man, that church will never, ever go anywhere. That pastor is just, golly, he's always late. Hey, we're family, right? Everybody say we all got faults. But do we rehearse each other's faults? Yeah, unfortunately. Hey, this is a fun message. Look, let me tell you guys, this is how you win your Christianity. Because every one of us are kind of got our little things about us, you know. We all got our weird quirks. And if we all start looking at each other too long, we're liable to start talking about it. That's why we need to really look at each other, and we need to look at what God's doing and quit looking on the outside, but look on the inside. Help me, somebody. Amen. I love to give this illustration. It's from Youngie Cho, one of the largest churches in the world. Youngie Cho, he's sitting up there, and he says, oh, God, he says, my wife, he says, she's so ugly. Yeah, and you know, he says, why is she so ugly? You know, and so he goes, you know, and he's going through this for a long time. And he tells his congregation this. You know, you got 750,000 people, and he tells his congregation, he says, my wife just says, she just got so ugly. He says, and so I went into my prayer closet, and I prayed, God, why is she so ugly? And God pointed the finger back at him. And he says, Joe, he says, you're the problem. He says, not your wife. And he began dealing with Joe. And so Joe comes out the prayer closet. He says, my wife is so beautiful. He says, she's the most beautiful. Can I tell you, folks, that if you get your eyes off of Jesus, if you get your eyes off of what God's doing in a person's life and you just focus on external things, if you focus on faults of people, if you focus on inabilities of people, you know, everybody's going to be ugly and everything is going to be wrong, you know. And this is really a strong word for this congregation. And, you know, you can spread this, share this with people, because this is an attitude that we get. What is my attitude? My attitude is that God is faithful to finish a work that he's begun in you through Christ Jesus. Come on, we may not look like much right now, but when he gets through with us, we're going to be beautiful just like Jesus is. Amen. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say, you're beautiful in Jesus' name. That's right. You see now? Now only married couples can kiss on that one. How many of you know we could preach this message every week? This is the message that the world needs to hear, brothers and sisters. This is what God's love is all about. Let's go ahead and kind of tie all this in. I could go... Yeah, I got to do that one too. Luke 17:1 says, he says, it's impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. That's your part, is don't cause offense. Okay? I'm just blowing through that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. The Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone. How many know God doesn't like a hothead? Everybody say, God don't like a grouch. Those who oppose him must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. And they that will come to their senses, oh, help me somebody here, and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. You know, guys, this is really the ploy of so many people in the church today. In and out of the church, is when someone comes to offense, you have to recognize that they're in a trap. And they've really lost their mind. Really. You ever talk to somebody that's offended and ticked off? You wave your hand, man, they're like a bull, man. You know, they're looking at, they see red cape. You know, you've got to be gentle with them or you're going to get gored. And you just say, you know, brother, I really believe God really loves that person. And he really loves you. And you just start dismantling that. And you pray for them that they will come to their senses and get out of the trap that they're in. Sooner or later, I believe people will come out if we will pray for them, if we will show them. I've seen it time and time again. People that have just walked away from churches, walked away from families because of offense. If people will love them and be gentle with them and show them Christ-likeness, they will come to their senses and come out of the snare. Hallelujah. That's what Paul told Timothy that was getting ready to pastor a church. So we'll tie all this together. In Luke chapter... No, I'm going to blow through that one. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. Again, remember, we're in the framework right now of the end of the age. You can't pretend like this thing's going to go on forever. Can't live like the sons of Noah lived, just eating, drinking, marrying, building bigger barns and all these things. You have to live your life. Keep yourself free of offense. Keep yourself free from... I got to go there. You know, one of the biggest offenses that to me is one of the most destructive offenses is taking up offense for somebody else. You know, it's one thing for you to get offended, but like, what if somebody in the church, he said, that was so unfair what they did to them. That was so unfair. And you begin siding with somebody. Everybody say, don't ever take sides. Don't ever, ever take sides. Because let me tell you what, I've seen it time and time again where somebody will be getting in a fight or an argument or disagreement over something, and they kiss and make up later, and everything comes okay, and the people that sided with them are still shipwrecked in offense. That's why I just pray for the people in offense and say, you know what, I got to take a step back. And you be careful when people don't take up your offense, that you don't become offended with the ones that didn't take up your offense. I know I'm talking to somebody here this morning. Well, you look what they did to me. Why don't you just, you know, look. You know, bro, I love you, man. And God's going to, you know, just keep your words and watch your words. You know, you can say, man, I know God's going to work all. Don't you think they're a stinker too? As soon as you say they're a stinker too, guess what? You're done got drug in there and they're going to use your name. And you're now in the tanglement of offense. Everybody say, stay free. Amen. Stay free of all entanglement. Amen. Okay, good. Oh, good, 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 good. Matthew chapter 18. We're going to finish up here. Okay. Therefore, Jesus said back in chapter 6, he said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Everybody say, let go.
Let go.
Let go. That's what this message is really about with offense, is just let go. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, verse 23, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. It's a lot of dough. And for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children. You know, they still do that today. I was reading in some news reports where people that can't pay their debts are actually sold into slavery. And they did that back then. And all that he had, and payment was to be made. The servant, therefore, that owed all of this, he fell down and worshiped, saying, Lord, Lord, have patience. Everybody say, have patience. Now, he's asking the guy that he owes all this money to have patience. He says, have patience and I will pay it all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which was like a fraction of that debt. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience. Have patience. Have patience on me. What does that mean? That means give me another chance. That means wait a little while. You know, folks, when somebody does something against us, we need to have a little patience. And I think this, I really want to underline this word today, because there was something about what you shared, Johanna, that really just, I saw that, you know, is that you were having all this trouble in this other country seeing God in these people. And yet God had patience for you, and he allowed you to see his perspective, that we to him are the same as us to that culture you were in. We look down upon that culture because of the nastiness that they were living in. And what must God see when he looks down from a heavenly, sinless perfection? And yet he still chose to come down and clothe himself in humanity. See, so this is what God is all about. Okay, I'm going to finish up here. Let me get somebody to go play. Thank you, Andy. To go ahead and start just giving us some close-down music. But let me tell you, you have to put yourself, when you're looking at someone that's offending you, you have to step back from the offense, do not grab it, and then you just have to say, you know what, God? I have to pray for them. And I have to take a step back and look at them the same way that you look at me. See, and that's what came in what you said. I can only help those people in India and have pity on them because you have pity on me. Praise the Lord. So if ever you have problems and somebody has done something, you know, they offended you. Remember the story his dad, John Osteen, told? Said one day his wife, and this man pastors, you know, huge mega church, one day his wife did something, and he says, she offended the great one, and he gave her the silent treatment. How many of you ever did silent treatment thing before? Doesn't work. Silent treatment doesn't work. And so old Joel Osteen, you know, he walked around, he's going to show his wife. He's not going to tell her, he ain't going to talk to her. About the second or third day, old Dodie, she hid behind the door. And she waited for him to walk through the door. And she jumps on him, puts a half Nelson around his neck, and she starts riding him like a horse. He says, Dodie, what are you doing? She says, I'm not getting off your back till you talk to me. It worked. Bible says, give not recompense. In other words, don't give back in return what somebody gives. Have mercy. And so my prayer for all of us today is that we would have patience. When somebody's coming at us and they are coming, when a situation, bosses, spouses, church people, whatever may be forming a situation that is bringing you into an offense, that you would have patience and step back and say, God, let me see this as you see me. Let me have pity. Let me forgive. I'm not going to grab that offense. I'm not going to take and get into that trap, because the trap of the devil is worse than all of those things. How many of you ever got into a place where you did something and you did the knee jerk? You went and got mad and opened your mouth because somebody offended you. And you felt, and you kind of got your feet stamped on. Now, I want to tell you one other thing, because this is where some of you are at. You say, well, you know, Pastor, that's an easy thing for you to preach. What about somebody that keeps on hitting me? You ever got your finger caught in a refrigerator door or a closet door? Or I remember one day I was camping with Sarah Beth, and she was reaching in there. She's a little bitty thing. And I slammed the car door. She had her hand in the trunk, and I slammed the car door, and I looked in there, and her hand's in the trunk, you know. Had to hurry up and unlock that trunk. That hurts. But you know what? That hand was sore. And I remember I bumped her hand later. She screamed. Well, it's the same way when somebody's hurt you. You got a bruise. And when somebody touches that same bruise again, it hurts. Maybe they didn't even have to hit you. They just brushed against it. That's why you folks that are either married, getting married, or second married, wherever you're at, you got to be careful when you hit bruise points on people. You want, where did that come from? Well, you know, growing up, man, that precious lady got clobbered by her daddy or her mom, or something happened, or, you know, somebody got really bruised. And when you hit that bruise point, it goes off. Have patience. Everybody say, have patience. We got to have patience with one another. And we got to, even as we ask God to forgive us, we're going to forgive other people. Amen. Everybody say, I forgive. I release. I want to ask this morning, is there anybody holding on to something? You don't have to raise your hand. This is really just between you and God this morning. Is there anybody in here this morning, you're holding on to something and you know you need to let go of it this morning? Maybe it was a classmate in school, somebody that did something. Maybe somebody stole your boyfriend. God help you. You shouldn't be having relationships that young. But if they did and you're holding a grudge, you release it this morning. Maybe somebody walked in there and stole your girlfriend, whatever it is. Maybe some teacher, maybe some athletic coach sidelined you, put you on the bench and ruined your career. This thing can go in so many directions. Maybe a mom or daddy verbally abused you by telling you you'll never amount to anything. Maybe somebody did something and it bruised you, it hurt you, and you've been holding it. Hallelujah. All you have to do is let go. Let's lift up our hands to Jesus right now. And let's just pray this. Say, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. I repent that the debt that I owe you is tremendously great. It's the 10,000 talents. And I ask you this morning to forgive me. Have mercy on me. And I know, Lord, that you do, because of your death on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross and washing away my sins. I believe that I am free. I am cleansed. I am forgiven. because of the cross and your great love. Now, Jesus, I forgive and I release every person that has ever hurt me, spoke against me, betrayed me. I forgive them. I release them. I let them go. I am no longer bound to them, but I am free, bound only to you, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I am free, I am delivered, I am saved, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. In Jesus' name. Let's give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and wave your hands at God and say, look, God, no chains. Hallelujah. Nobody holds me. Only the Lord holds me. Praise God. Just remember, brothers and sisters, this is one more nugget for the way home. But you know what? When you step into offense, whoever you are holding in unforgiveness, that person, you're chained to them. They own you. But what if it's my wife? Or what if it's my husband? Well, that's not the way to live. But when you truly forgive somebody, it unlocks you from that control. I hate that person with all my heart. Well, my God, certainly forgive them. Why be bound to a person you don't like? Amen? Amen. Amen. Say the Word of God is good. It stands on its own. That's right. And it's the way I'm going to live. Amen. Guys, if we can live like this, you're going to have a good life. Amen. I'm just letting it all sink in. A lot of stuff said today. I feel the Holy Ghost all over this place today. Let God speak to you. You know, I think we touched every heart today with this message. Just let God tell you. Let Him show you those wounds. There's nothing, that's what Christianity is about. Let Him show you where you've been injured, because that's what's restricting you from moving forward, is your injuries. Let Him remove those injuries out the way so that you can go forward. Forgive. Release. It's the key to moving forward. I want to get the band just to come up, and we're going to finish with a song. I want to do a proclamation song. The music's not pulled for it, so they're going to have to just play it by ear. And they love doing that so very much. Give the band a big hand clap as they come up and worship. Let's try the key of G, Brother Andy. Let me jump over on that thing. Why don't you stand to your feet? That was beautiful what you just played. Come on, put your hands together with me now. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let all God's children praise the Lord. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands. Let all God's children praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let all God's children praise the Lord. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands. Let all God's children. I need
a little trumpet right here.